The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 and Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we are back live here, Buffalo Wild Wings, Cypress. Make your way on out here. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Great food, great drinks, great staff, and you got a chance to win a prize as well if you put your name in our raffle box. All you got to do is write your name. We got a raffle box right here on the side here, and you have a chance to win a prize a little bit later on in the show. But let's get down to business. C.J. Stroud. We grade him after each game, Clint, and C.J. Stroud versus the Ravens was 17 of 31, 185 yards, no touchdown passes, no touchdown runs, of any, no touchdowns of any kind, one interception, passer rating, 59.2. Many people, including C.J. said it was the worst game of his career.
Oh, my God.
It was a struggle, and I see many people texting in their thoughts and their grades. Toby goes F-minus on YouTube and Twitch. I'm seeing people on the text line just said, hell with the grade. CJ, are you okay, bro? D-minus from the text line as we do this every week, sending your grades for CJ Stroud. And Clint, I'll go first because I know you want to discuss a little bit more into it, and I'm really curious your thoughts on what you saw from CJ. But for me, I'll go with D in this just because yes, he was really bad, but I also think there were things around him that were really really bad that caused him that helped cause some of his issues. And so I'll go D and not go full F from him yesterday. So a D for me on C.J. Stroud, who this is the worst I've seen him play at Ohio State or here with the Texans. Your grade for C.J. yesterday?
Yeah, it's an F for me.
Yeah, I thought
this is the worst C.J. Stroud that we've seen, and it's through and through, and it's to a point. This is the first time that I've ever like really been concerned about C.J. Right? I mean, I think there's
like moving forward concern.
Yeah, I mean, who is C.J. Stroud? I mean, last year was great, but at some point you see. I saw a graphic earlier since he grabbed Caleb Williams after the Chicago game and told him to learn from his mistakes. I mean, CJ's thrown like 16 touchdowns, and I can't remember as many touchdowns as he's thrown interceptions.
Oh, and, no.
I mean, the record I think is 7-7, and so anyway, it's not been good. But I'm at a point where as impressive as last year was, this year is as or more concerning, and I don't really know who CJ is. Look, I mean, you look at that game yesterday. Forcing the football into coverage and throwing the ball, forcing the football to Xavier Hutchinson, turned into an interception. The most concerning is, you know, there's four misses in about a five-play span that are just unacceptable. The dump-off to Dalton Schultz, that would have been a huge game, if not a touchdown. He somehow missed that. The overthrow of Nico Collins on the corner route when he's wide open, and Nico's, what, 6'4"? I mean, his catch radius is probably 10-plus feet high and 12 feet wide, and you somehow threw a ball that he couldn't even react to. That miss was awful. There's a John Metchie on an out route miss that was awful shortly after that. There's a check down right before the interception that was thrown to Xavier Hutchinson that was, Joe Mixon's just a check over the ball, and the ball's thrown at his feet instead, where he could have caught and turned and at least got you in second.
He had it earlier in the game, too, where he just threw it for, way ahead of him, and he couldn't get to it in an easy 10-12 yards.
There's that one, too. So that's five misses, and I think all of that occurred in a matter of about six or seven plays. I know four of them were in a span of five plays. And you just can't afford to miss those kind of opportunities when your defense is getting ran through by Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. You got to at least show the potential to match the score, keep it close, apply a little bit of pressure to their offense where they can't just sit back there and run it and afford to be in second and long if they do get stopped. They got to at least get creative and throw the football around the park. The offense never did that. So forcing the football on the interception, missing the simple throws. I probably should put missing the simple throws early on. I thought the post-game presser was absolutely brutal with C.J. Stroud. The tone, the nonchalant, there was more hurt and more pain over Tank Dell's injury last week than being embarrassed on Christmas Day on Netflix. I just don't understand, the mindset of the quarterback right now. Which leads you kind of bleeds into the leadership style and how soft this offense is what is CJ's ceiling from a leadership standpoint? Like, I left this game asking myself, is you better go find a Trent Williams, a Deebo Samuel, a Christian McCaffrey, like proven, like dudes that are the best in the game that are straight dogs, because your quarterback and your head coach aren't going to bring that to the table offensively. Like that's where I'm at with CJ Stroud. So this is it goes beyond just the field for me. I mean, I thought all of it was a mess.
He's becoming a tough watch for you.
Yeah, CJ Stroud is becoming a very very difficult watch for me. And again, it's because of all the things I just mentioned. Like, I understand there's reasons. The protection was not good once again. The run game was not good once again. The play caller was not good once again. The options at him at receiver, the guys aren't creating a ton of separation. I understand it's not ideal circumstances.
But as you're saying, the quarterback sure as hell didn't. It wasn't like the quarterback was good and everybody else struggled. Like, he didn't help everybody else either.
Well, he was not good, which again, that in a vacuum is fine. But the body language and the appearance of just quitting in the second half when clearly the game was over, but you're still in the game. Joe Mixon is still in the game. You're throwing go routes 10 yards out of bounds to Nico Collins. I mean, it's just – like, the whole thing was just a very, very difficult watch for me. And if we're being honest, like, this has been C.J. Stroud for a good stretch this season.
See, I think I'm glad you brought that point up, as I see a lot of people are texting in their thoughts on it, and many seem to be on the same page with you. But it does feel like this was finally, from some people, and I'm not saying that nobody was saying anything about his struggles, but it does feel like, Clint, that now it felt like a lot of people are looking and looking square at CJ, and almost like, Christmas Day was the day that maybe the honeymoon period ended for a lot of people with CJ Stroud. It almost feels like people think, oh my God, he just played bad today. But as you're saying, like, he's been kind of inching up to this, right? This didn't just come out of nowhere, and it's not just one to denounce, like, all right, man, it was a bad game. Like, about the defense. Maybe the defense just had a bad night.
Yeah, I can take that angle with the defense. I can't take it with anything offensively, and I can't take it with C.J. Stroud at this point in time. There's just the reality of it is I think it's more than accurate at this point in time to realize that, yes, I don't doubt CJ's tangible ability to throw the football I don't doubt his ability to, again, make all the throws across the field and from the pocket be that ball placement specialist. I think that's still in there. But I'm really questioning, like, the leadership style. Mm. I'm really questioning the ability to handle adversity. Like, we said this last year, Ron. You can vouch for me on this one. It's easy to lead when you're exceeding expectations.
Yeah.
It's easy to get up there and have all the right things to say when you're winning 10 games, going to the second round of the playoffs after this fan base and this organization has been embarrassingly dysfunctional. It's going to be a different story when the expectations are up here, the schedule, the competition is up here, your play, the team's play maybe isn't, and you've got to figure out a way to draw guys together and bring this thing together and get it right and right the ship. Again, there's multiple people that have C's on their chest, if you will, particularly on the offensive side of the football, that I think in that department are failing miserably. But, I mean, who in this day and age doesn't start with the quarterback when that's the case?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm at a point where I don't know. Like, I'm going to be honest with you, after last year and even early this year, I was like, hey, I mean, CJ's the dude here for 10 years. There ain't no doubt about it. Like, as long as you can keep dude here, as long as you don't run him off like you did.
Now he's gotten into the category of,
I mean, you're year two.
Hey, man, I ain't just giving him this contract. Like, he's gotten into that category for year.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been good. I would have been cool if they'd have inked that contract after 3 years.
Yeah.
Next season, as soon as the season's over, get that. Hey, man, he's got work to do to be in that category. For me, it's becoming a very, very tough watch.
What's the number one thing for you? What's the number? Is it the missing throws? As you went through it, he's just missed so many throws. Is it the forcing the ball? Is it the, you know, like, hey, listen, somebody isn't playing the way the way things were structured last year. Somebody isn't doing that. Maybe it's Bobby, whatever. Somebody isn't getting the ball out quick, doing all that. Or is it, as you put together the overall leadership stuff, what is it that is just getting you the most?
Well, it's all of it. I mean, it's the whole thing. But again, I'm not worried about the physical play. I'm a little concerned about the you know, inability to adjust. You know, and again, he's a young quarterback. He needs help. The quarterback coach, Gerard Johnson, and Bobby Sloak, and all these guys, they all have a stake in this. But at the end of the day, as good as he was last year, I'm shocked that it hasn't been more simple for them to, over a bye week, go, hey, man, this is kind of where we got to live in this other area. But instead, we're still talking about explosive. We're still talking about being aggressive. We're still talking about, you know, that kind of stuff instead of just playing smart, winning football. I think probably the most concerning thing for me is like, you learn a lot about people when they are in adverse moments, and I'm surprised of how CJ has dealt with the adversity that has been this year. I mean, I just there's the inability to just authentically say, this is embarrassing, that was awful, we're going to get our ass kicked next week if we keep doing this by the Titans, much less in the playoffs. You know, like, it's just the ho-hum press conferences, the tiptoeing through the tulips of a guy's on rest days here. And
things are fixable.
And allowed to just be softer than hot butter on the field. And it's just, hey, man, nobody's playing time is threatened. Nobody's questioned. The head coach won't even comment on C.J. Stroud. Hey, man, what'd you think about C.J. Stroud? Oh, well, the Ravens were really good today, man. And, you know, the defense didn't tackle fair. Wait, what are you talking about, C.J. Stroud? What the hell are you talking about? We didn't talk about all that. We're asking about C.J. Like, the inability to hold – and I only say that because, to me, that means that they don't feel safe enough to say, yeah, the quarterback didn't play well enough today. We can't turn the damn football over against Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. We got to find a way to stop the bleeding when they're running down our throat. We got to find a way for the offense to keep Lamar Jackson on the sideline. We got to be better. Bobby's got to be better. CJ's got to be better. I mean, this isn't it. Like, the inability to do that is mind blowing to me. And the only thing I can think of is they've got to do it because they're worried about, like, CJ
the way he handles it. Yeah. And to the point that you're making in the press conference and stuff, like, there was a point in the press conference yesterday, and I do want to play it, because there was a point yesterday in the press conference that I didn't love at all, Clint, and I didn't I thought, following when you talk about the leadership stuff and the stuff of, like, this is the guy that's going to kind of have it together, the guy we're following, the guy that's going to galvanize the team and stuff that we've seen here of late. When he talked about, he was asked the question, what's the difference between last year and this year? And I didn't love this answer, and I think this is a little bit what you're talking about in the press conference yesterday.
You tell me, you know, I mean, I think, you know, I'll try to approach the game the same way I did, you know, and even, you know, I think I'm seeing it better than I ever have, you know, just a little banged up, so I'm not really making plays, and that's a terrible excuse, but, I mean, really just not making plays. That's really the difference between last year and this year for me is just not making enough plays. So, and, you know, there's times where, you know, the plays are to be made and there's guys open and I got to find a way to, you know, make the play work, make somebody miss or do something just that I'm capable of doing, you know, and you know, winning us a football game, you know, that's really, you know, up to me to lead our team in those times where guys are open and, you know, ultimately it's just me making plays. That's really how I look at the difference between this year and last year, which, you know, can be fixed.
Well, two things jumped out to me in that is one is him
they're all fixable.
Him making the excuse, like the banged up excuse. I don't know if he means himself or if he means Tank and Diggs and then the Nico was out. I'm not sure which, but make an excuse from that. And yesterday seemed like more than just not being banged, the guys being banged up. Yesterday seemed like what we have seen and him just being off on throws that, as you would say, he's made in his sleep since yep. since he's been throwing the football. But then also I'm seeing it better than I ever have. And that one is, Helen, you're a quarterback, and maybe you have seen things better than you ever have, but played worse, and the results didn't come out. But those two things jumped out to me of, like, when you say some of the guys with the season on the chest, and we can hear some of the excuse-making and not reading the room and understanding, like, hey, man, that ain't it. That ain't the game. Yep. And then, like, it's odd to hear him say, I'm seeing it better. I'm seeing it better than ever, and you're still making the mistakes that you're making. Those two things really jumped out to me listening to that press conference.
Yeah, I thought the press conference as a whole was a mess. I'll be honest with you. I thought the tone was a mess, and I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, he was asked about, you know, are you worried about it? Oh, no, I'm not worried about it. You know, no, this is something you need to worry about.
Like, we sucked.
That was, again, flat-out embarrassing. So, yeah, whether it's making excuses or not, like, I'm the kind that when stuff like that happens, man, you can see it on my face, you can hear it in my voice, I'm hurt, boy. Like, this is a low point for me, and it just doesn't seem to register. We go right back to we can fix it, and man, it's execution, and it's this, and that, really, that's what this is. This is all of that coming to a head all year long of the nonchalant, just, oh, we'll be all right, we got to fix it, it's all fixable, and then you go out there and walk through for 3 days, and it don't get fixed.
Yeah.
I mean, that just...
The real accountability.
Yep.
Being held, and the real, like, we're really gonna change things. How much is that happening? Yeah, man, as you said, man, he's a bit just not anywhere near what we thought he was going to be. And not to say that he can't get there. I know that your thoughts have kind of changed a bit on him from where it was at the end of last year. And obviously, we always talk about, Helton, you get new evidence, and we've gotten some different evidence from last year. But not to say to give up on the kid, because it's hard to look at what you saw last year was greatness. And the hope is that can come back in any however you can, that can come back, but it is an acknowledgement that it has dropped majorly.
Yeah, look, Ron, the reality of it is offensively they need to make some personnel changes, absolutely, whether you're talking about the play caller or guys that are again starters on this team. Do they need to find a way to move on from some of those guys? Sure, but the biggest change that needs to be made is mentality, and there's nobody that can impact that more than the quarterback. And if we're all being honest at this point in time, we know a little bit more about C.J. Stroud and him dealing with adversity, and we know a little bit more about this team and how difficult it's going to be to change that mentality. And does he have the ability to be that guy, or is it a matter of bringing individuals in that can? You'd like to think that your quarterback could do some of that at least.
Yeah. All right, coming up as we continue, our Man Eye Institute players of the game. This will be fun. Text in yours. Who is your players of the game? This could be a difficult one, but text in your players of the game. We will tell you ours coming up next as we continue live Thirsty Thursday, Buffalo Wild Wings here in Cypress. Come on out and enjoy yourself as we continue the holiday season live right here on The Drive.
He sucks at football.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 and Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in as we are here on a Thirsty Thursday here at Buffalo Wild Wings. We're at the Cypress location, so come on out and hang out with us as we are about to give our Man Eye Institute Players of the Game. Someone texted and said, let's take that segment off by week this week for the Players of the Game. And no, sir, no, we will do the difficult task of finding the Player of the Week. As Man Eye Institute expects us to find the difficult task of finding the Players of the Week. Now, I'm not going to allow Tyler to give us towel boys or water boys or the people who moved all of the speakers and all of the stuff at the half to get ready for Beyonce. I'm not going to allow.
That's kind of where I'm going, so
I know it,
buckle up.
and I'm not going to allow it to happen. All right, we're going to do the hard work for it, and you are too.
I would argue that it was hard work for me to find this answer. But y'all get this thing started.
There is nobody more that I am concerned about for the player of the week than Tyler Milner when they have weeks like this. And listen, the Texans haven't had that many like this, but they do. No, we will not shut this thing down. Our Man Eye Institute player of the game. Who is yours, Clint? We'll let you jump this thing off. Who takes the player of the game for you?
Well, this is an easy one for me. Kamari Lassiter. Look,
he scored.
Yeah, he was a leading scorer for the Texans yesterday. The defense outscored
you. You should think of me.
There you go. I do, and I think Ron. One thing that we've discussed over the last week is, you know, I'm not sure that there's not a more of an opportunity for Kamari Lassiter to impact the game from that nickel defender position. Then outside at outside corner, and I have no idea where he's going to land, but it is becoming more and more evident that whether it's covering a slot receiver across the field last week and making a great PBU, or it's being the only positive in this game in terms of from a scoring perspective, and wrestling Derrick Henry down in the end zone for the only 2 points the Texans scored. So, I it's hard for me to look at this any other way. Kamari Lassiter has just been better than advertised at that nickel defender and has been really, really good at playing the run, rushing the passer, playing with instincts around the line of scrimmage. And
they
so,
found something there.
Yeah, well, I don't know where they're going to end up because he was really good outside as well, Ron, but I do think that there's a real chance that they watch this, the film of him inside, and they go, man, it's going to be hard to not want to see him more in there.
No, listen, he almost killed number 36, I believe, on a blitz. I don't know who it was. They didn't have Derrick Henry in there, but they sent him on a blitz, and he almost took him out. And he seems like he would be a really good blitzer, a physical blitzer from that spot. So, yes, man, he scored the only 2 points. And when you talk about – and I know Tyler plays that dog drop because we talked to him last week this time. He's not a person that I look at that lacked energy or lacked being flat at all. I mean, I saw him out there playing his normal self. So, I would agree. Kamari Lassiter seemed to be himself. And like I said, I think they may have found something in this with him playing there. And again, like we and I'll be honest right here, I always the first one to say it. You know, I was very, very skeptical in the draft when they drafted him for the speed for a lot of reasons. And it did seem like, I remember during the draft, that they potentially may have looked and wanted to potentially go with somebody else there, but they waited till other teams went up and got the guys they wanted. But Kamari Lassiter has been one of the best draft picks for Nick Caserio, at least through year one, and he's big time and now versatile, can play a lot of different positions, and has played them above average. So yeah, I agree with you. The only person to score for the Texans in the game. My Man Eye Institute Player of the Week goes to I'm gonna give it to John Metchie. And listen, he caught 5 balls, 48 yards, like nothing great. But, Clint, I think he could have had a much bigger day. I think there were times where he did his job, right? He created separation, and the ball didn't get his way. Or he was underthrown, or he was thrown over his head, and he wasn't able to make a catch to add to the offense. So and another one we wondered about, his ability to separate. And outside of the time that he missed with that shoulder, here down the stretch, John Metchie has really shown and improved himself. And so I thought he had a solid game yesterday that could have been a better game if the ball could have gone his way or gotten to him on multiple occasions. So I think John Metchie has done well for himself since really the Diggs injury, when his play really increased.
Well, I was a little surprised that John Metchie wasn't in the Woods role. You know, it seemed like Woods was getting was made a little bit more priority of getting more run and getting more reps. And I thought for sure, especially in a game that really didn't mean much, and then the game went as it did, I thought for sure that John Metchie would be the guy in that particular role. And maybe, you know, with 5 catches, maybe he went that way eventually. But I thought out of the gate that John Metchie would be the guy that they spent a little more time trying to get the football to. So I was a little shocked there. But the point is you know, similar to Kamari Lassiter, the truth is John Metchie is a bright spot. He's coming. I do think he's going to be, you know, quality depth on this football team, and potentially even more if he keeps coming. So, it was a good day for him.
Yeah. So shout out to John Metchie, Kamari Lassiter. I feel like I'm going to regret this, but Tyler, do you have a Man Eye Institute Player of the Game?
I do have one. It wasn't easy, like we've kind of laid out. Whenever you put a dumpster fire of a performance out on the field at NRG like the Texans did yesterday against the Ravens, I mean, 2 points, that automatically makes me think there really wasn't a Player of the Game. But I worked hard, thought about it, and I do love the return of H-Town Blue to this great city of Houston, and it's got to go to the grounds crew over there for the Houston Texans, because that field looked pristine. That blue H in the middle of the field looked freaking cool. It looked awesome. Love that shade of blue. H-Town Blue is back. All the numbers were facing the right direction. The yardage markers were good, and they were straight lines for the most part. So shout out to the Houston Texans grounds crew. Y'all are this week's Man Eye player of the game for the Houston Texans.
Tyler, don't say it was straight lines for the most part. Like there were a couple that were that were slanted. They were all straight.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I mean, I saw one part that was a little off 30, to the right, but
one of the hashes of the 30.
It was still an overall great performance by the grounds crew, and they are the player of the week. So shout out to those hardworking individuals. Thank you very much for putting that blue H on the field.
I want to say shout out to those workers as well, but as I said, I thought I might regret Tyler going to the grounds crew and pointing out the yard.
I thought Post Malone or Beyonce would definitely get that.
Well, people on the text line have gone with Beyonce in her performance. Was it? Speaking of that, how we feel about Beyonce's performance? I was standing next to you when it happened, Clint. How we feel about Beyonce's performance? And then one thing that may show the essence. Every time I hear D'Amico say things like, this isn't us, that's not us, and then we start to continue to see things that show that, no, this is you. Speaking of Beyonce, we saw something else that shows, no, this is you. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 and Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I knew Clint, you've talked about this gentleman a lot. I knew Channel View's own Jalen Hurts was a smart young man. It is becoming an epidemic with these quarterbacks overspending and buying these gifts for their offensive linemen, whether they're worth a damn or not. And I continue to plead with CJ. You're not in this situation. You're still on the first contract. Let's be smart about this thing.
Oh, Brock Purdy's on his first contract.
And got them all Toyota Tundras.
Brock's crazy. Vehicles.
All of them, for about 12 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
We heard how ridiculous Russell Wilson did. I didn't even heard it. It's me and Brandon said, but I've never even heard of $10,000 for Airbnb. That's I understand right. The places that they go, but an Airbnb gift card, $10,000 for about 12 guys, that is just ridiculous. But Jalen Hurts, he got all his offensive linemen golf carts. Nice little golf carts, right? But he was smart, though. One, to me, that's doable, and I haven't seen anything else he's gotten them. But he didn't just do it with himself. Him and Saquon Barkley came in together and bought all of the offensive linemen golf carts. And meanwhile, their offensive line deserves it. They got one of the best offensive lines in football. Smart move from Houston's own, Channel View's own, Jalen Hurts, for going, hey, Saquon, man, let's go into this thing together. I mean, they're about to have you rush for 2,000 yards. I mean, let's go in this thing together. So smart move from him, but they got to slow this thing down. Some of these offensive linemen don't deserve it. And now they're just buying all these things, 12 sets of them. It's crazy as hell. But good for you, Jalen. I can ride with that. Nice little golf cart. And went in and made
split the cost with Saquon. Nice golf cart. Got their name on the side of them. They got nice rims on them. I'm assuming they got sound bars and stereo systems in them. So that's a solid move by the QB.
Jalen's father comes off as the one where it's like, hey man, let's talk about this. Like when I look at that man, he looked like if he'd have done with some of these quarterbacks. What is Brock Purdy thinking? Somehow somebody had to, like, Brock couldn't have played. He didn't pay full price for them trucks.
Well, I mean, look, Brock would not be Brock if it wasn't for that offensive line.
Yeah, but Brock's a seventh round pick, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he had some kind of Toyota deal that was working.
I mean, he's got to have a hell of a deal. 12 Toyota Tundras? Come on, man. Get the hell out of here. Well,
he won the prize, man. That's top shelf stuff right
now,
there.
Now he's about to get paid, too, mm-hmm. which comes out about it. All right, speaking of this music playing in the background, I appreciate that, Tyler. How you feel about Beyonce's performance? 713-572-4610. She seemed to steal the show. I'm not going to lie to you, I saw a lot of people hit the exits. As soon as that thing was over, 17-2 at the half, I saw a lot of people
smart
hit
folks.
The exits. I'm not going to lie to you, I'm walking up to the game, fellas, and I saw people dressed for different events. I saw people in Texans uniform jerseys. I saw people head-to-toe Texans. I saw people in Baltimore jerseys. And then I saw people look like they was going to the Renaissance Tour. I saw people in platinum. I saw people like in cowboy hats. Like they put their outfit together for these 12 minutes that they were going to get for Beyonce. But I mean,
like B. Scott said last time he was on, the Texans game at the Beyonce concert.
Oh my God! I can only if you remember how that first half came to a halt at about 32 seconds. And then D'Amico kept running and calling timeouts, and then there was an injury to CJ, and it was sitting there at 11 seconds, and then John Harbaugh called a timeout after a third down, and it was like, I know people was out there, damn it, get this thing on the road. We're here for the concert.
Where's Queen Bee?
Where's she at? But man, she was fantastic as always. I've seen her in person a couple of times. She was something else.
It got me to wanting to see a live show. I've never seen her live.
You ain't never seen her live?
I've never seen her live. Now, if that's the level of production that you have at a halftime game, at a halftime performance, I would imagine that an entire show is wild.
Crazy.
So, now, if I'm going to complain, I didn't appreciate the first whole damn near whole song was in the tunnel.
That tunnel, you didn't like the build up, the walkout.
I mean, I get it. It's for TV, and it was on the big screen, and I enjoyed watching it. But I was like, "Damn, when's she gonna come out of that tunnel? You got 70-something thousand out here waiting on you.
Hey,
come on now,
hey, Tyler. Hey, Clint is a Clint's a commenter. He said, "Hey, he said, where the hell is she? Where is she? Is she coming out? Is she coming out in that car right there? She is right there." I said, "No, I don't think she's coming out."
Hey, like, she was in a car, and I'm watching her ride off, and all of a sudden,
she's on that stage.
Car pulls up in that tunnel, and she's on that stage. I was like, "How'd that happen? She had to have a body double. She had to."
Clint
she never got out of the car, and she just popped up on the stage in midfield.
When she started Texas Hold'em, Tyler, Clint said, "How the hell did she get on that stage? She was just in the back of that car, wasn't she?"
I mean, she was in the back of that car. I thought, because I'm trying to watch, and then somebody came up and talked to me when I was trying to see how she got off the field. She stepped on that turf. I wanted to see how they got her off that field without people going nuts. And then I lost her in the scrum.
Like, how the hell did she get out of here? No.
Yeah.
She brought Post Malone out. He was sitting on the back of old pickup truck, you know, with denim draped all over it. I thought that was a solid move. Her daughter was out there.
Yeah, that was
solid. Yeah. Shibuzi, big tall dude.
Yeah.
Did you have that?
His hair. Yeah, you asked me during it. His hair, I didn't recognize.
I mean, I didn't realize he was that tall. Or did he have steel on?
I didn't. I don't know. His hair didn't look like. I don't remember his hair looking like that last time I saw him perform on Thanksgiving in Detroit. But anyway,
I'll be honest with you. I had some family and stuff in the house during the halftime performance, so it was on the TV. But I didn't really hear much of it. Like, as far as I'm sure, she was great vocally, like she always is. But I'll tell you what, from what I was seeing, what I saw, it was a good performance.
Well, somebody
she
just
ain't
texted.
Ever hard to look at.
I mean, Lord!
Look, I mean, the reality of it is that where we were, the acoustics suck. I mean, you can't
You've always talked about that at NRG, though.
It's, mm-hmm. it's like going to the rodeo and expect. I mean, unless you've got like an acoustic Chris Stapleton, like she had so much going on, there was a lot of distractions. If she'd have been on the field in the middle of the field by herself just singing, then it'd have been a different deal. But she's got so much going on.
Yes,
there's a lot of noise around her. Yeah, there ain't no doubt.
Someone texted in and said she's hot, but the performance was awful. Like, I don't understand the – like, I don't know. I mean, to each his own. I just don't understand how you looked at the performance and everything she got in 10 minutes and be like, man, that performance sucked.
Yeah.
Like, I don't – like how they put
together. I think the thing is when you look at like the level of production, I know it wasn't a Super Bowl, obviously, but I think you immediately go to, because she used the whole field, multiple cars, dancers everywhere, band. You immediately go to comparing it to some of the better, you know, Super Bowl halftime shows. And which I think is probably a tad bit unfair, given it was just a Netflix game, Christmas Day game.
And I think they have longer time than that. Yeah. She was fantastic. Mm. Listen, this may not be a shocker. I'm not a big country music fan. But, like, I watch Garth Brooks, and Garth puts on a damn show. I can watch it and appreciate, like, he is in it. Like, he's, I mean, he looked like he's, I mean, I would like to see what his Fitbit looks like when he gets done, because he sweats. The thing, even though it may not be my cup of tea, I can't say, man, that dude's an awful performer.
Yeah.
That's weird. But, one thing that is making the rounds is, if I'd have told you all, 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube or Twitch, and I said, there's one player on the team that posted an autograph immediately after the ass kicking 31-2, immediately after the game, an autograph shoes that he got autographed by Beyonce.
No, that was not Beyonce.
That was not Beyonce. Who was?
We cleared it. It was the artist that made the shoes for him.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say. All right.
I screenshot and zoomed in. It was the shoes. Whoever the artist that designed the shoes that he was wearing signed them and made and put on there. You know, pair 25 of 70 or something.
Hello.
So it wasn't Beyonce.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, shoot.
Which it doesn't matter. I mean, but immediately following the game.
Even worse now. I would have felt better if it was Beyonce. Now it's this person that is a no name, but directly after the game, he's out there. Putting a photo of signed shoes he just got after that ass kicking.
Well, the interesting thing with that is Laramie Tunsil, by the way, for those of y'all that are wondering. I mean, after that embarrassment, the first thing on Instagram is an action shot of him from an angle where you can see the shoe, the inside of the shoe where it was signed, and then with it another up close shot of the shoe. I think he was just holding it at that point, and it was posted pretty quickly after the game, which. The most interesting, I told Sean this last night, the most interesting part of that is I could probably not really give much of a rip if it was just like, hey, man, check these shoes. My artist did them for me. I told him I'd post. Boom, let me snap this picture. Boom, post it, whatever.
Hit the money sign again.
But my man had to go get that action shot that was taken from his right side from behind him. So his left foot was in the picture where you could see the shoe and see the autograph. My man had to literally
so
go to somebody.
Links, huh?
My man had to go to somebody post game and say, hey, let me scroll through the photos you took, man. Let me get one from me back behind me with where you can see the inside of my left shoe when I'm in my stance. Or he went to a photographer before the game and said, hey, make sure you get a picture from this angle where I can see my shoe and we can use it. That's the interesting part to me is that wasn't just a in the locker room, snap a quick pic, keep it moving. That was orchestrated. That's wild.
Right after the game, man.
Right after getting skull drug, man. That's right after giving up five sacks and rushing for about 42 yards.
You said, man, that's Trent Williams in him, huh?
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't a great look. When D'Amico and sometimes they say this isn't us.
They're all
like,
fixable.
Like, man, this kind of stuff tends to happen more than once. Stuff like this tends to happen more than once. So listen, interesting game. The halftime, I think people wanted the half, but obviously a tough day. We'll continue to talk about and react to what happened on the field on Christmas night between the Texans and the Ravens. What you got coming up at the 4?
All right, it was an ugly game. The Texans got beat 31-2. It was absolutely awful on all fronts, a lot worse than anybody could have expected at this point in the season, if we're being completely honest. But I think the big question today is, can this be fixed? Do you believe that this can be fixed? Do you believe that the people in-house can fix the Houston Texans before the playoffs hit in 2 weeks? 713-572-4610. Shoot us a text. We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Can D'Amico Ryans fix the Houston Texans by the time they kick off in the playoffs? That's next right here on Sports Radio 610.
He is highfalutin.